As Christian believers, followers, and disciples of Jesus Christ, what is the, if you were to give one example, what is the single most important thing that we as Christians are supposed to be known for? Joy? Love. I say love. I think love. Notice what Jesus said in John chapter 13. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this one thing, love, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Of course, love is the fruit. Everything flows from love. Because God is love. So, what are we known for? You know, I've heard it said that some people bring happiness wherever they go. And some people bring happiness whenever they go. I hope we're not the latter. Now, what would you consider some of these negative, unloving qualities to be? You know, perhaps we never smile. You know, people that never smile, right? Perhaps we never say hello or goodbye to people. We are always complaining about something or somebody, right? And because of these things, you know, they really do rob us of our joy. We have no joy. We have no peace. We have no love to give. But yet, we're supposed to be Christians. So understand, a Christian with any one of these qualities, well, it's very difficult to be an effective witness for Jesus when we're always walking around, you know, murmuring, complaining, and all sad and stuff. Although we have many trials, it's true. And it's very difficult to share the peace and the hope and the love of God when we have no peace in our hearts, our hope, our love, ourselves, right? How can we give what we don't even possess ourselves? Very difficult. Now, of course, how are we to even encourage others, anyone, right, in the Lord, when we ourselves are always so discouraged through the trials of our lives? Now, discouraged about what? Our work, perhaps. We complain about our work a lot, some of us. All right. Our financial situations, of course. It's always a burden. Our health. Our family members. Even each other, we like to murmur about and complain about sometimes. These things can really discourage us sometimes, and perhaps even more. But when people often, you know, they ask us how we are doing, well, then, how do we reply? How are you doing? Just, well, how do we reply when people say, "Genki desu ka?" Oh, genki desu. You know, we have the standard kind of response all the time. But, you know, some people, they'll give the standard, "Oh, genki desu. Daijoubu." And some people will go on and say, "Well, let me tell you." Right? "Oh, this person and that person and this thing and that thing. And, oh, my life is just ruined." And they just pour out everything, right? Mecha shabon shabon. Says kawaii so, right? And it's too bad that we're so sad, especially as witnesses for Jesus. You know, the entire time when we're sitting there all, you know, telling people, "Oh, I love Jesus, but I'm so miserable." What are these non-believers and non-Christians, what are they thinking to themselves? They're thinking, "Man, if that's what it means to be a Christian, I don't want anything to do with that. Why would I want to be like this person, right? All miserable all the time. Oh, Jesus loves me." You see, there should be something different about us. And some of you know what I always say when people ask me, "Hey, Joseph, how are you doing?" Go ahead, let's try it. That's right. Some of you know. "I'm doing a lot better than I deserve." People, "Joseph, how are you doing?" "A lot better than I deserve." Eh? What does that mean? I don't know how to translate that in Japanese, but I'm sure she's given a good shot. What does that mean? It's a very odd reply. I understand. But think about it. What do every one of us deserve? Well, look what Romans tells us what we deserve. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6:23. So aren't all of us as Christians, those of us who believe in Jesus Christ, doing a lot better than we deserve? We are. And it is a good way, well, that I remind myself every day when someone asks me that, no matter how seemingly bad things are going in my life at that particular moment, you know what? They're going a lot better than I deserve. It's a way for me to put in perspective the reality that I've been forgiven. And this is temporary. And God's in control. He's forgiven me. That's ichiban, you see? But we forget about it sometimes. Therefore, Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. There's a lot for us to rejoice about. There is always cause for rejoicing in the Lord. Count your blessings one by one, and you will see what the Lord has done. Now, we are to rejoice, the Bible tells us, for who He is, for what He has done, for what He is doing, and what He's going to do. This is the hope we have as Christians. But is that our witness? Is that our witness? Is that what our life is expressing for the world to see or to hear from our mouths? Have you ever seen a fake smile before? Who's seen a fake smile before? Okay, well, if you haven't seen a fake smile, here you go. Here's your fake smile for you, okay? Do you see anything weird about this fake smile? Besides that it's fake. Look in my eyes. Do I look happy? Right? Maybe you can't see that far. Well, and that's the way it works sometimes. You'll often be able to tell by looking into people's eyes. It has been said that the eyes are what? The window to our soul. Right? And sometimes people can be so troubled in their soul that their smiles, as much as they try, never seem to reach their eyes. And you can see right through them. Even though we're smiling, it still shows in our countenance, in our attitudes, in our lack of joy, in our lack of love, in our lack of compassion for others. You see? Oh, of course, you know, we can fake it. And some of us are probably better than others at it, and we can fake it for a while, but it's let's face it, you know, it's eventually just a matter of time before it shows. It's a real gift, let me tell you. It's a real gift of God to be able to put on this smile in the midst of pain. In the midst of trials and tribulations, to be able to smile through it. It's not easy. It's a gift of God. It's called joy. It's called peace. It's called the fruit of the Holy Spirit. These gifts that are beyond our understanding. How could we have joy? How could we smile in a situation like this? Now, what are some of these things that make us sad or depressed? Loneliness, illness, like we said, financial strain, relational difficulties. And in contrast, what are some of these things that make us happy? Well, you know, good friends and good health and good food always makes me happy. Okay? And in many ways, these two lists are mutually exclusive to one another. And what does that mean? It means that one emotion will usually cancel out the other at any particular moment of our day. We're like emotional roller coasters, aren't we? We're happy, we're sad, we're happy, we're sad. And that's just the way our life is, depending on our situation. You know, I feel good, I feel bad. I feel good, I feel bad. And we're like that, aren't we? Depending on what's happening right now. Now, true happiness and contentment, which we call joy, can never be found in these things of the world or even these situations that we go through. You know, the Bible, our basic instructions before leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, our basic instructions before leaving Earth tells us in Psalms, notice 146 verse 5, happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. And in 144:15 Psalms, it says, happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Are you happy in the Lord today? It's a question. Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever wondered how people can look and hear and see the exact same thing with different conclusions as to what that is? You know, I will see it like this and say, I think it means this. And this person says, I think it means this. And, this looks like a bad situation. And, this looks like a great opportunity. And we have these different contrasting opinions on the same thing sometimes, even though we're looking at the same situation. And the reason why is because it's all a matter of perspective, isn't it? It's a matter of our own perspective and which way are you looking at it? And it's no different with the things of God. It's all about our perspective. It's all about how we look at the circumstances of our life. Having the right attitude can really help us keep things in proper perspective. Now, did you know that Jesus gave us a list of attitudes, perspectives, if you will, that would actually make us happy, right? This is called the happy list. You know what they are? He really did. We call them the Beatitudes, don't we? As in the attitudes we should be and we should have and the attitudes we should be known for as Christians. The attitudes we should be known for. The Beatitudes. Notice Matthew chapter 5. It says, and seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are those. Blessed. The word blessed. Oh, how happy. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Amen. Amen. And you know, sometimes we can read these Beatitudes, the attitudes we are to be known for, and think to ourselves, I must be missing something here, right? Blessed when we are persecuted? Happy when people say all kinds of evil against us falsely? Rejoice and be exceedingly glad in these situations? Am I missing something here? Right? These sound a lot more like trials than they do blessings. And of course, I don't know about you, but I would think that trials normally bring people anxiety rather than happiness and joy. Is that not true? Well, earlier we read Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord. Always. Again, I will say, rejoice. How, Paul? How? How can I have a joy and a peace in this bad situation that I'm going through? Well, Paul went on to tell us, notice what he says, verse 6 here, Philippians 4. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. So notice, peace is not the result of ideal circumstances. Everything's so perfect. That's not going to bring you perfect peace. I'm sorry. Peace is not found in a job, in family, in a big home, in Spa World, at Disneyland. As wonderful as those places may be and those things may be for a moment, they're only for a moment. Because those things cannot protect us from the trials of life that will come. And when they come, what are we going to do then? Can we run? Can we hide from our trials? You know, some people try, you know. We call them hikikomori, don't we? Just hide away from all of life and all their problems. Perfect peace is found in Christ alone. He is our peace. He is the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace. In perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on you. Because he trusts in you. Do you trust in God? Perfect peace does not come from ideal life circumstances, as we mentioned. Perfect peace does not come from the absence of conflict, as some would try to define it. Perfect peace, the Bible declares, is a mind set on God. Okay? It's a choice that we make every single day. To trust God or not. To believe God or not. You see? We can have a peace in any circumstances depending on who our mind is set on. Now, if we don't have peace, what does that tell us about our mindset? What is it set on? Well, it's not on God, let me tell you. It's on the problem, isn't it? Our mind said, not on God. When we don't have peace, it's not on God. It's on the problem. And that is why we freak out. And that's why we worry and stress and doubt and fear. Why? Because of our mindset. You see, it's because our eyes are on the problem rather than the solution. Okay. To know the peace of God, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, who is the solution to every problem we may face. Now, you remember the story of Jesus was when he was walking on the water. Very famous story here. Matthew 14:29. He said, come. And when he was walking on the water, and Peter said, can I go on? And he says, yeah, come on. And so Peter, he came down from the boat and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. In verse 30, but when he saw that the winds were boisterous and he was afraid and he began to sink, right? He cried out saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? So we know this analogy. When Peter took his eyes off of Jesus and put him on the storms of life, what happened? He sank, didn't he? And sometimes when we sink, we're doing the same thing. Because we oftentimes sink too. Find ourselves sinking at least. And if we find ourselves sinking, What should we do? Well, we should get our eyes off the problem, off the storms of life, and put them back on the solution, like we see in this story here, right? Look to Jesus. He's the answer. And what did Peter say? He said, "Save me, Lord." And what did Jesus do? Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him, and he will catch you too. You see, if we would only look to him, if we would only cry out to him, oh, if only there was someone that would just be there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, just to remind us, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Take your eyes off the storm, because sometimes we just seem to forget, don't we? And we find ourselves sinking. Well, we do have that person. Notice what Jesus said, John 14:26. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave you," he said. "My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Bible has a lot to say about peace. So Jesus says, "I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you." And then, of course, he says, "My peace I will leave with you." What's the connection? Well, the Holy Spirit ministers the peace of God to us, our minds, when our minds are fixed on Jesus. That's the connection. Peace is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, right? So again, peace does not come from this set ideal of life circumstances and or the absence of conflict. Now, I know this to be true because, you know, I was one of those people. I was one of those people who had a life of ideal circumstances in my life without any conflict. People always say, "Oh, you're so messed up. You need Jesus." No, I wasn't messed up. Okay, I was messed up in sin, but I had a set ideal life circumstances. Everything was going great in my life. Now think about it. Once everything is perfect, okay? Everything that you could ever imagine. Oh, if I had a house, I've had a car, I've had a wife, I have money, whatever it is that you think will make you happy. Okay? Once everything is so perfect, what's there to ever look forward to? Everything's perfect. What's there to look forward to? You see? It brings depression. It really does. I know. That was my life. There's nothing to look forward to when everything's perfect. These people are the most miserable of all, as I was before I met Jesus. Now, peace, of course, as I was so blessed to find out personally, is a gift that can only be obtained by abiding in Jesus Christ. It's the only way. John 15:4 says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." What is this fruit that Jesus is talking about, that we are to abide and hold on to and not let go of? Galatians 5:22-23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." Notice, peace is a fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? If we have no peace, it's only because we are choosing not to have it, really. It's our choice. Again, peace is a mindset. It is a decision we make to trust God through the storm or not. To abide in Christ or not. To hold on to Him or not. To love Him or not. To cry out to Him, "God help me." or not. Philippians 4:6 tells us, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." Okay? So peace, the peace of God, is not only a mindset, not only is it ministered by the Holy Spirit, as we learned, but the perfect peace of God is also a fortress that guards our heart and guards our minds from the trying circumstances of this life. God's peace is not something we need to go chasing after or have to try to find, okay? The peace of God is something we can be secure in. As a Christian, it should be the fortress that we continually build around our lives through a lifestyle of prayer and supplication, as this verse tells us. Now, if our peace is weak, okay, perhaps our prayer life is weak. Could be a good indication. If we are easily disturbed, if we are easily stressed, what do we need to do? We need to pray, folks. We need to pray. We need to spend time giving God the things we are anxious about and the things that we need to give Him that we cannot do apart from ourselves. And this is what it takes to start trusting Him as we give these things to Him. And by doing so, we will in turn build up a fortress of faith around our lives, protecting us from the circumstances of this world. Okay? Through prayer, through the reading of God's Word, as we know faith is built by hearing the Word of God. And so these things we do, not because we have to, because we want to. They're essential. Now, what about the future? How many of us become anxious when we think about the future? Oh no, what's going to happen? What's going to happen next? I don't know. We have all this anxiety wondering what's going to happen. If I only knew what God wanted me to do, right? Oh, that would be easy. Well, James chapter 1, verse 5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." So notice, as James continues in chapter 3, verse 17, he says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable and gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." So, what else gives us the peace of God? The wisdom from above. Okay? The wisdom of God gives us the peace in regards to our future. Okay? Understand that you cannot predict or control what is going to happen and what's coming. We can't. But we can respond to everything with what? With godly wisdom. If we have the wisdom of God, we will have the tremendous peace in regards to our future. If we are control freaks, and I have to do it. Someone who is constantly trying to control their future will be stressed out. Let me tell you. Why? Because we are trying to do something that's impossible. We can't control our future. I couldn't control the fact that Kimiko couldn't come today. We had no PowerPoint presenter. I couldn't control the fact that our PowerPoint just went all crazy today and I had to email it to my own computer and set it up and give it to Adam to do a PowerPoint up there this morning. These things we have no control over, right? It just happens. So what do? Shabon. No! we gotta do what we gotta do and trust that God's doing something, isn't He? So, we cannot control our future, can we? in regards to our life, especially when people are involved. You know, we can plan and we can plan, but we will never know what's actually going to happen, do we? Proverbs 16:9 says, "A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." Wisdom is the ability to respond appropriately to the circumstances that you or I cannot control. Now, there is a mentality in Christian community today that uses peace as a guide to making quality decisions in their life that we need to consider very carefully here. You'll hear Christians often say, "I believe this is what God wants me to do because I have a what? I have a peace about it." Right? We hear that all the time. I believe this is what God wants me to do. Because what? Because I have a peace about it. Oh. You know, the most difficult decision Jesus ever had to make, he had no peace about. Do you realize that? Luke 22:44. "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground." There's a word for this that I can't even say. Let me see. Hematidrosis. Okay? It's a real condition in which humans will sweat blood. It occurs when a person is suffering extreme levels of stress. For example, facing his or her own death, as Jesus was here in the garden. Okay? Jesus did not have a peace about going to the cross in his humanity at that moment. If that was the case, he wouldn't be sweating blood, let me tell you. Okay? Yet Jesus found peace by resolving to do the will of God. I've heard other Christians say, "Oh, there's a lot of adversity. So, you know, God must be shutting the door." That's another thing Christians like to say to determine what's God's will. "Oh, I think the door is shut." Why? "Well, there's a lot of adversity. A lot of trials." Well, that's not what Paul, the apostle, said. Notice 1 Corinthians 16:9. "For a great and effective door has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries." The peace of God is not the absence of peace, absence of conflict. No, the peace of God is present in spite of conflict. It's not about our feelings, folks. I'm sorry to tell you. It's a peace, Jesus says, that surpasses all understanding. Okay? If you can understand it, then it probably isn't of God. People always wonder, how do you know what to do? How do you know God was calling you to Japan, Joseph? My pastor, "Joseph, are you sure you're called to Japan?" You know what I said? No. I don't know, but I'll never know unless I go. You see, I didn't have a perfect peace about it. Let me think about it. Oh, I have a new wife. I just got married. I had no job. I don't know the language. I have no financial support like many of our missionaries here. No, I didn't. Okay, and all these things that God said, come. In the circumstances, did I have a peace? No way. How could I? No job, no support, new wife, whole new country, new language. This is crazy, folks. You see, something that will drive you crazy. If you think these things, and you have gone through many other things, I'm sure, things that don't make sense in our mind. Did I have peace? No. But I had not the peace of circumstances. In the circumstances, no way. And that's our case We will never have peace in the circumstances of life, folks. Understand this. But did I have peace in God? Yes. Absolutely. We will always have peace in God. And how? How? It wasn't because of a lack in conflict or opposition. No. It was because of the peace I had in spite of conflict and opposition. You see, Amy and I were either being called, like I said, or we were totally crazy. One or the other. And there was only one way to find out. And that's the only way you're going to find out. Is to just trust God and go. That's the only way. Because if you run and you hide, like Paul said, there's a great effective door for you. But oh, here's opposition. Who shut that door? God? Or you? Oh, I don't have a peace about it. Oh, it must not be of God. Are you sure? You see? We were, Amy and I, and still are, determined to simply do our best and commit the rest to God. And I hope you will be too. And we trusted that where God guides, He will provide. And He will, if you trust Him. And there lies the key. Once we get our focus off the storms and the circumstances and the and whatever else that's in this world, and put them back on Jesus Christ, something amazing starts to happen, folks. The storms stop, don't they? When we focus in on Christ, the storms of our life, yeah, of course, may still be raging around us, but they won't be raging within us any longer. This is the perfect peace of God that we are talking about. The storms may be going crazy outside of us, but not within us. Last month, Pastor Brian, you know, he reminded us of this application found in Mark chapter 4. And let's be reminded of it today. Mark chapter 4, verse 37. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filled. But he was in the stern, Jesus, asleep on a pillow, and they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Okay. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace be still." Oh, I love that. "Peace be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And so although the disciples were rebuked for their lack of faith, as Pastor Brian was telling us, notice the order of events here. There was a storm. There was a cry, and there was a calm. "Peace be still." Words not only to the storm, but to us here today. Notice Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still and know I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." And Paul exhorted us to do the same thing. In Colossians 3:15, he says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." Be still. Know that He is God. He's in control. The question is, will we? Will we be still? You know, like little kids. Just be still. Sit still. We're like that, aren't we? Oh, I can't sit still. Just wait upon the Lord. I can't. I have to fix it. Will we choose to let the peace of God rule in our hearts? This is an important issue because people are watching our lives as Christians. They're waiting to see what we will do when things go wrong. And they want to know how we're going to react. Do we as Christians really believe what we say we believe is really real? It has been said, some of you know this, Christians are like tea bags. You never know what they're made of until you put them in hot water. Okay? Then it all comes out when things get hot. As Christians, we are to, as St. Francis of Assisi said, preach the gospel always, and if necessary, use words. Okay? Understand, our lives may be the only Bible that some people, especially here in Japan, will ever read. As Paul the Apostle wrote, and we will close with this, 2 Corinthians 3:2, you are our epistle, our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. You see, people are watching our lives as Christians. We are to show them Jesus. In the midst of trials, in the midst of pain, in the midst of uncertainty, Jesus is on the throne. He is in control. He's not up there worrying, oh no, what are we going to do about Joseph? No. He loves us. He's going to take care of us. We have to trust Him. And you know what? If you have to, well then, Lord Jesus, right now I don't have the ability to even smile. That's when we pray. Give me what I don't have. The fruits of the Spirit. You cannot produce them on your own. They're a gift from God. And we need to pray for God's help. Let's pray right now. Lord Jesus, we understand that apart from you, we can do nothing. Nothing, God. As much as we try to fake it, it'll show through. And the last thing we want to do is falsely represent you. Because we know, Lord, that you want to use our lives and even the trials and even the pain, whatever it is, you want to use it as a witness. You tell us to be lights unto this world. Oh, let your light so shine that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. And Father, please, we ask that you would shine upon us your grace and your mercy and your great love for us, that we would shine brightly for you. Oh, those diamonds, they sparkle real bright with the black background. Perhaps if your background is very black today, all that means is God wants you to sparkle that much more if you'd only look to Jesus. Lord, please, help us look to you. Keep our eyes off the problems. Put them on you, who is our solution. We need your help. Daskatekurasai. As we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. ありがとうございます。